1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
When I leave this broadcast and leave radio, Britt Hume has been hired, and he'll be doing a roundtable news discussion here in these 3 hours with, actually, I don't know if they were going to let the black guy in here or not, but the, of course, I'm kidding around. So this hour, I will give you the exact end date as to our broadcast. The last day that we will ever do a radio show, honest to God, and I'm, you know what, people are saying, oh yeah, sure, in another year you'll be back. Let me tell you something, and let me be as clear as I can about this. You know, like the man said, you never say never, because what if I'm completely out of work and I have no money and I don't have any food and I'm hungry and it's either that or I start mugging people? Will I come back to radio? Yes, I think so. You could say, well, why don't you take a bartending job? That way your integrity is intact. Well, I don't think it speaks to a lack of integrity if I say, I'm leaving radio. Well, wait a minute, I'm coming back. How come? Because I'm so hungry and I can't get a job as an actor. I've got to do something to get food on the table, so I'm going to take a radio gig. Well, you lousy, scum-sucking, no-good, characterless bastard. But I'm telling you right now that I am not screwing with you. This is not something where I'm doing a farewell tour. There's not going to be a going away party. There's not going to be a going away webcast. There's not going to be a live show. There isn't going to be an ad nauseum reading of good wishes emails. By the way, I have a few I'd like to read this hour. There's not going to be celebrities calling in and saying how much they loved me. I'm not going to have any of that. No butt licking at all. It's going to be tonight. I'm taking some time out to tell you what's happening and why I came to this decision. Tomorrow night, back to business as usual. And then maybe the last show, we'll do a little couple of extra things. But this is not a this is just me telling you, man, the show's over. And the reason why it's over are for the reasons that I gave you. We're moving into an area where I think I'm going to have a little bit more fun. I've stopped having fun doing this show. I like doing radio and I like doing the show, but I've stopped having fun doing it in the framework that it's in. I can't do it anymore working within the framework of the broadcast industry as it is today. You know, you've heard me talk a lot about it. You know, you've heard me say these things that somebody ought to sue the FCC, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, right. That's going to happen and I'm going to grow hair. That's going to happen, and I'll lose weight, and I'll look just like Brad Pitt in a week. Look at, man, I know which side the bread the butter's on, and I know how things... You can't change things. Forget it. You can change yourself, like the man said, right? That's what I'm doing. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and I said, you know, I think one thing that 33 years in radio has bought me is the right to speak out about the industry. Now, there's nobody, and I mean there's nobody, that can take that away from me. I have 3 decades in this business, and I've got the right to speak about the business that has been mine for 33 years of my life. I've given a lot to this business. And I've been paid very little. Yes, 7 figures. However, I'd like a little something more. You earn that right. You earn that right. And I've said it time and again. Now, I don't know if I made anybody angry, and I don't care. But my purpose was not to make anyone angry. My purpose was to try to move people to change things. My purpose, for instance, in saying the FCC ought to be sued was to give somebody an idea to do it. But I remember when I said that down at the R&R seminar, and I said, is there any CEOs in this building? No. All right, forget it. All right, I do have some emails, but these are just from listeners, and I wanted to read a couple of them. Number one, this is from Brett. And Brett writes, number one, it blows. Two, thanks for the laughs. Good luck in all that you take on. You'll be missed, but I understand. Now, if you excuse me, I've got to go Bakersfield chimp. Here's one from Renee. I'm your age, which means nothing more than I get what you're saying. To your fans, it's bad news. You are one amazingly funny guy. I love your show. You crack me up on a daily basis. I'll miss your show very, very much, especially the Art Bell bits and Bobby Dooley. By the way, will you be killing your characters like the WIOD days? Probably yes. Thank you for your email. Here's one from Melissa. Naturally, we're very upset that you're leaving radio. My idea for weaning us devoted fans is to write or somehow do a series or a movie about your awesome show, a TV series. For me, would be best. Hate, 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 hate to see you go. I'd like to do a TV show where I play a private detective that chases terrorists. In other words, I've got a pork pie hat with a little press ticket in it and a bottle of booze, and then I just go out and I kick ass on towel heads and I come back and have another pop. I think that's great. Sweet feathery Jesus member, the wages of sin writes, no more Howard, no more Phil. Oh, well, at least we'll always have comb over. Excuse me while I go bite down on a shotgun sandwich. Hey, that is the good news. You'll always have combs. You can always flip over there to boy. Here's another one. Please do not charge me for another year of the backstage pass since you're leaving. In addition, for your final few weeks, please start to kill off all of your characters, starting with Bud. I want him to die so slow and so painful, I can't even abide the telling. Margaret and her husband should be next to go, and of course, Ted Bell. Light them up and start to purge them from our radio memories, execution style. Thanks for the good times. Adam writes, why not just take a hiatus, a year or so, and come back refreshed and ready to roll? Yeah. Refreshed and ready to roll. The problem is, man, I could come back refreshed and ready to roll. It's the same old business. Nothing wrong with the radio business. Great. It's just, it's time to go, man. Here's one from Mark. That's okay. At least you're not moving on to the morning AM slot on Free FM in New York. You've got to have another webcast, or better yet, a live broadcast, or how about doing an audience show? No, 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 no. But thank you for your thoughts. Gina writes, greetings. You've broken my heart into teeny tiny pieces. I love your show, and I've been a longtime listener. I will now have no other choice but to go postal at work and kill off some of my coworkers. Thanks so very much. Teachers is great, I guess. Gina. Here's one from Taffy. I am so angry I have to go out for a walk or something. Meet me at 123 Asskick Street if you're as upset as me. 123 Asskick Street. Ha ha! God, that was great. Is that Lloyd?
Yeah.
Hey, what's your address? You want my address? 123 Asskick Street. Hey, Phil, I heard you the other night teasing about leaving, but this is crazy. Granted, in The Last Teachers, you were the star, nobody else. You make that show, and doing the voices on TV was hilarious. That was a lot of fun, that show. And no, I wasn't the only star. I think that Sarah Shahi is the big-time star in my life now. All right. I'll allow Phil to speak before I go completely off the handle, but just seeing a headline that says Phil Henry to leave radio pursuing acting really hits me in the gut. Say it isn't so. I love Phil as much as any of his hardcore fans, but I'd much rather hear him belch on the radio than see his stomach on TV. Well, no kidding. That's a good point. Phil, I honestly don't understand your fascination with television. Right now, you're one of the greatest entertainers that ever lived. What you do every single night is unbelievable. Thank you very much. Mike writes, Phil, I promise I won't bring this up again. I just don't know how you think you're going to have more fun or freedom on television than on radio. Unless you have your own flexible format show, TV is like stepping into one big do sandwich. Runny. Oh, God. Dirty Pool writes on Sweet Feathery Jesus, this is a full jail cell sodomizing. God! Phil, I'm writing to you as I'm listening to your broadcast via my backstage pass. I'm a radio listener. I'm not much of a TV watcher. Why? I'm blind. Thanks a lot. And I think you're a punk for quitting radio. Get your ass back in radio ASAP. Your blood is in radio. I guess I'm happy for you if you're happy, but I'm the son of a radio personality. I know a lifer when I hear one. You dirty scumbag, you. Signed, radio lover. Jamie Jim Nugent. Nugent? And then finally, this one from Dustin. Let me first say you have an amazing talent over the past 3 years. You've been a breath of fresh air. However, you're sick and twisted to do this. I know you're joking. I know you're kidding. Tomorrow night, you're going to say it was all a big fat joke. You're a real scumbag. Dustin. Phil, how about coming to Sacramento to... Oh, forget it, Sacramento. What a nightmare. Sacramento. My wife was in Sacramento. I went up to Sacramento with my wife. She was on the air up there. God, I can't even believe that's part of California. Honest to God, I can't believe that Sacramento is in the state of California. You go up there, you might as well be in Toledo or something. Honest, really, it's like it's flat. There isn't a palm tree in sight. And it's like you're in the middle. It's like you're in northern Minnesota. In other words, I love it. All right, I have to break?
Yeah.
Glad you're still awake, bud.
Yeah.
1-800, or why am I giving the number? I'm not taking phone calls tonight. I usually don't take phone calls from real people. Why do we even have the phone number posted? Why? Because it's better than giving a time check, I guess. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, I'm giving my date of retirement coming up.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And then there's my friends at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. This is a great website, just a great, great website. And the reason why is because the people there are my kind of people. They've got that really messed up, antisocial, but ultimately I can work within the system kind of sickness. But everywhere they go, they spread their twisted disease. And their heads are like all totally where they should be. They call themselves Gloids, which is kind of weird, but most of them are cool. And they give themselves nicknames. Sweet Feathery Jesus is called that because of the character that we do, Lloyd Bonafide, who that's his exclamation for everything, Sweet Feathery Jesus. One of the reasons why I came up with that, by the way, is it all started at a campsite in Yalama Beach, California. And I was camping out with four of my friends. And Yalama Beach is just about the most beautiful beach you've ever seen in your life. It's a really popular place for surfers. When I first started going there, say in the spring, there weren't a lot of surfers there. But it's right out on the further westernmost point of California. If you look and you see how the state curves up and then begins its northward trajectory, that further western little point there, north of Santa Barbara, is where Point Conception is, and just south of it is a place called Yalama Beach. And I was there one weekend with some friends of mine. And maybe it was because we were partying. I don't know what was going on, but one of my friends said, "Have you heard that new song by George Harrison, My Sweet Jesus?" Now, the tune's called My Sweet Lord, right? But this cat says, "Hey, have you heard My Sweet Jesus?" And for some reason, two or three of us began to just pee. I mean, it just sounded funny. So for the whole weekend, it became My Sweet Jesus. And this became a part of the way my head worked from that point forward. Do you think that song would have been as much of a hit if Harrison had called it My Sweet Jesus? Anyway, that's where that comes from. And there's a lot of different sayings that we have on the show that come from certain places. I meant get a piece of fat and slide off is from a Laurel and Hardy movie, okay? Pilot high and deep is from What About Bob? It's just a funny, funny line where Bill Murray, she says, "More salad, Bob?" "Yeah, I think so." And he says, "Pilot high and deep." And Lloyd and his anger and Vernon and his anger, which I find to be extremely funny, is my father, Herbert Hendry. My father was like that. My dad would get angry in the funniest ways. It would crack me up. How my old man would get pissed. He'd be saying things like, "Yeah? I told you about the line, you'll get an ass full of car." Hey, pal, you want to get out of the way? You'll get an ass full of car. My dad was talking one time about a guy that was really making him mad. It was a next-door neighbor of ours. He said, "You know that guy, Johnson, next door?" I go, "Yeah." And I'm listening to my father. "This guy is so stupid, honest to God, that if he," and this is how my dad put it, "he's so stupid that when you take him outside and the sun's up, you have to say, 'Bob, this is a day. This is what's called a day.'" I'm dying with it. Of course, you know, if you've got a parent like that or anybody, they look at you and go, what are you laughing at? What am I laughing at? This guy is so stupid. And like that. So that you know, and frankly, to be honest with you, growing up with an angry father is not always fun. Now, my dad was not physically abusive, but he was a tough guy to live with. Very tough guy to live with. He was not a drinker. I think he should have been. He was just unhappy. But he went between exuberance and depression. Maybe he was manic depressive. I don't know. I suspect that there was some of that running in my family. But I think what I did as a kid is I found humor to be my savior. And so I would find things to be amusing, even if they were really kind of scary maybe to other people. I would really laugh. I'll never forget one time my old man getting so angry at a dude on a motorcycle. This guy had cut out into traffic. Now, the guy was a good 50 yards away. My old man made a beeline for this guy. He turns the wheel. He never hit him, but he tried to scare this guy. He's going to go right at this guy on a motorcycle. Now, most people, it would scare, probably healthy people. But as a kid, in order to protect myself, I guess, I just immediately started busting out laughing. I wasn't laughing at the situation so much as the look in my old man's face. It suddenly went into this look of grim determination. Now, he came home from work one day when I was 13 years old. And my mother was in the living room. My sister was there. My brother was off living on his own by that time, my younger sister. And he said, I lost my job today. I got fired today. And he was a little bit younger than me. Now, today, I have a wife and I've got four stepkids. And one of the things that I promised myself if I ever got a family is I would never, ever, ever put any child of mine through that. Stepkid or not, would never, ever let them feel any insecurity about the roof over their head, the food on the table, or whether they're going to be able to go to college or not, or whether they're going to be able to go to school. And I'm very fortunate. I married a woman who takes care of money, and I take care of my career, and I make sure that we always have that security. Because I remember that day. I'll never forget it. As my dad sat there and said, your mother's going to take a job. And, you know, I got fired. It's going to be tough times. And, you know, and he sat there. And, of course, you know, within a year, he had left. So it was a lot of crap. I went through a lot of period of my life where I just said, family blows, money blows. The only thing that really is worth anything is art and just hanging out and sort of being a free spirit. I didn't want to trust family. I didn't want to trust money. And I damn sure didn't want to be my own man. But you know what? In life, you get older and you get smarter and you also grow up and you stop blaming your folks. Yeah, all right, man. Yeah, everything was tough. It sucked, all right? And I didn't like that. I didn't like this. You know what? I'm a big boy now. So here's what I got to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. And I'm going to stay ahead of the ball, man. And when I see that I'm not happy anymore doing what I'm doing, I'm going to move on to something else. Because the one thing I know, to be successful at what you do, you got to like it. You got to like it. And when you stop digging it, you are on your way to trouble. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to notice that you don't like it. So I got to just spread the old wings and move on. And you know what? It's cool. That's what you got to do. Don't ever stick in a job, man, and say to yourself, you know what, I better not leave this gig and move on to another one because I'm too old to start again, or I'm too scared, or there's so much security here. I've talked to more people who want to get into radio, and they say this to me, I want to do what you do. Yeah, okay, you're going to have to start in like Tucson, Arizona, or like liberal Kansas. Well, how do I get on the air in L.A.? Like work maybe 6-7 years. Uh-huh. Can I? And right then, you know, the cat's not for real. Are you willing to go to Tehachapi, man, and open the station up in the morning, bring in the milk bottles, and then start playing the records at 6 a.m.? Can I get back to you? Sure. Coming up, the date that I'm leaving radio.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Obviously, by now you figured out that I ain't going to tell you what day I'm signing off the air until the end of the show tonight. That will be my last day of broadcasting, I guarantee it, on terrestrial radio. The only way I come back to terrestrial radio, I'm serious, the only way that I come back to terrestrial radio will be under the following conditions. Number one, the money has to be right. Number two, I get to approve which affiliates this radio show goes on. Meaning I get to approve what stations the show goes on. Number three, I get to personally interview and approve or get rid of people that are in charge of affiliating my show. Number four, I get to personally interview and approve or disapprove of people who are in charge of selling the advertising for my show. Now, that just isn't going to happen. Oh, you never know, though, because, I mean, what's going on in radio right now is this. There's the terrestrial side, there's the satellite side. The satellite side offers options to talent that we haven't had before. There is a talent drain going on. Now, right now, you guys know that what happened over Infinity, after Howard Stern left, the David Lee Roth show went in the tank. Adam is struggling. Good man, good broadcaster. He's struggling. He's got, you know, got an impossible freaking job filling those shoes. Infinity itself doesn't appear to be a company that, like, knows what it's doing. I think that's a pretty good way of looking at it. And so, therefore, they're just sort of casting about. What is that about, David Lee? I don't know. Anyway. And so there's going to be this ridiculous run on decisions that will ultimately hurt these companies. Meanwhile, the satellite company is only going to get stronger. What the hell, man? I go to satellite. I don't have to worry about sales, affiliates, this, that. Not that affiliates are a worry, but it's like, you know, it's an area of concern that you have to have some control over. I've got to be able to say, what station is that? Well, it's a station in Nebraska, and the guy really likes your show. And who am I following? You're going to be following Sean Hannity. Wait a minute, man. Hold on for a minute. Well, either that, Phil, we're never going to get it on any radio station. I think we can, but what we have to do is we have to present a plan. We have to be patient. So in any event, that's not going to happen because that's not where our business is at right now, and that's fine. But I can't sit around and wait for it to get any better. So the plan is this. Let me just be clear to you guys. Number one, is Teachers going to get picked up for another season? I have no idea. If I were a betting man, I'd say no. If somebody asked me to put my, you know, if you got a spare, you got a C note, Phil? Yeah, what do you want to lay it on? I say, no, it ain't going to get picked up. How come? I'll tell you how come. Because that week we stiffed 2 weeks ago, that'll kill it. Well, I thought you guys did better than Office did last year in the same time slot this week. Yeah, we did do well this week. But I'm telling you right now, when you tank 1 week, just one, baby, that's all it takes. That's all it takes to get people nervous. We tank that week, we're dead. Now, that's what I think. I don't know. It could very well be that the people at NBC are, okay, wait a second, man. We can see some strengths here. We know what we can work on. We know some things that we can sort of trim away. I think if we get rid of Hendry, it's a good start. Well, then we're picked up for a season, except I won't be in the cast. But anyway, no, but I mean, if they look at it that way. But if I was to lay my last C note on it, I'd say forget it. That's fine. Number two, the idea is, because I've had a little bit of exposure on network television, to be able to get in and do more auditions, because the character that I play on Teachers apparently has been well received, that people will at least want to read me for other parts, and then we move on from there. Writing, perhaps putting together an idea for a pilot. In the meantime, taking jobs wherever they may be, small films, television. I'd like to personally, I want to do Ben-Hur again, and I want to play Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question, because I know you're all laughing. Who says Jesus was skinny? Is there something wrong with seeing a fat guy nailed to a cross? Can you imagine that? Some fat dude. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I shouldn't. Well, why not? All right. Yeah, thank you, Mark. Mark just reminded one other thing, because there's some scuttlebutt, and I want it to stop right now. No petitions, okay? I'm not going to, I don't want to, I'm not changing my mind. I'm not coming back to radio in the present climate unless we can secure a satellite deal that is going to be good for this radio show. And again, these are all long shots. Otherwise, I'm strictly television in front of the camera. Maybe satellite. Maybe. I ain't coming back to the terrestrial world. I am leaving on the mothership, and I am heading to colonize a new planet called Gelderon. It is there, along with selected females, where we will repopulate the region. No way, man. I'm not coming back, and don't do the petitions. And you guys at Sweet Feathery Jesus, you ought to know better. You ought to get that guy out of there. Whoever started that one in there, get him out of there. Revoke his membership. Hey, let's get a petition. Who are you going to present it to? The Pope? I don't want any petitions. I don't want to come back here. Do you understand? Number two, I ain't going to do any weekend shows. Now, I want to say this in that regard. I got a nice call from Don Martin at AM 570 here in Los Angeles as I was driving into work. Very nice, classy guy, Don. And he said, you know what, dude? I know what you're thinking, but if you ever want to come back and just screw around, man, please, would you come back on our radio station? Would you, you know, whatever you want to do. And I appreciate the hell out of that. And I told him so. I don't think it's going to happen, Don, but I believe me when I tell you that the sentiment is appreciated.
The sentiment?
I didn't say sediment. I said sentiment.
I thought you meant like something at the bottom of a river.
Yeah, that's right. Don, I want you to know that what that stuff at the bottom of the river is really appreciated. What an idiot.
I don't know.
All right. We'll be back. Our final segment will contain definitely the end date for the Phil Hendry Radio Show. I'd like to quote Dirty Pool from Sweet Feathery Jesus, where she says, please don't forget about us fans. P.S. Will you sign my rack? Yes, is the answer to that. Too bad you're in Asheville, North Carolina. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
The other people I got to mention are the people that have worked for me. And how do I begin this, man? I mean, I don't think I'm going to remember everybody, but I remember Greg Glassman in Ventura. And, Greg, I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say that, you know, look, come on, man. You were a great producer. So what if you were on work release? I'm serious. The cat was in jail for a very brief time when he was producing me in Ventura, but he was in jail, but he got out to produce my show. I swear to God. And then he would go back to jail at night. And then I needed a ride home from the airport. He said, oh, that's okay, man. I'm out on weekends. The guy's on work release. He was my producer in Ventura, I swear to God. Great guy. Great guy. When I went to Atlanta, he says, man, I want to go down south here. I said, yeah, think about it, dude. Next thing I know.
Prisoner 31, Gregory Glassman, please put your hands on the table.
Hey, Greg, so I'm looking through the glass. I guess you're not coming to Atlanta, huh? Not right now, Phil. Okay. And then I moved on to Atlanta. I knew some great guys. Up in Minneapolis, Rob Pendleton. And Rob and I put together a game called, it was a beer trivia game. We thought we were going to make millions on it. We were going to go get it patented. You know, it was a trivia game that we were going to sell to college students, and it was all beer trivia. And you could earn a degree. We had a board so you could, you know, go through college. And we've got the patent, so don't even try to rip it off. But, I mean, the fact is it costs so much money to actually produce a game that you then send to Washington and show them that it's, you know, this is the game. Anyway. And then I got out to L.A., and I met Jonah Weiland, was my first producer out here. And Jonah has a website called comicbookresources.com. I just went on this site. I haven't been on Jonah's site in years. This thing's a pretty good site. And he is a complete comic book freak. And he was my producer. And he even used he had a website, Boiling Point, I think what it was. It was the first listening post for our show. It was the first place where you could go online to hear bits from our show. It was just called BoilingPoint.com. And he would take bits from the show and go and put it on his website. He was the first guy to say, oh, this stuff is cool. I'm going to put it up on the internet. And from there, it started getting bootlegged. So thanks a whole lot, Jonah, for nothing. Now, I'm joking. He also turned me on to the Preacher comic book series, a comic book series that I then turned my older sons onto. It's the most phenomenal comic book series that I've ever found. It's called The Preacher. And he was my first producer. Mike Crozier was my engineer. Mike was funny as hell. On All You Can Eat Negro, the guy that's laughing, that's Mike. And on Burning Bugs, that's Mike. He would just, it was great. And I know I gave you hell, Mike. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, man. You know, I gave so many people such a hard time, not because I just, you know, I wanted things to be perfect. And I think a lot of times I leaned on people too much, you know. When I came over here, I came over with Craig Taylor. And Craig, thank you, man, for caring about the show. You know, you're a little messed up in the head, but that's okay. I mean, his girlfriend, Nikki, what a knockout. And this nut wants to go to Dallas and be a bartender. Yeah, good choice. All right. So in other words, you're leaving this really hot redhead, okay, to go to Dallas and be a bartender in like a bisexual club. Okay, all right. What are you talking about, man? But no, he was my engineer and was here all the time, wiring the board, doing something. He helped us get up, set up. He was my first engineer when we went national. And he was here for weeks helping to wire the studio and get the studio ready. And then, you know, I had this succession of people. Janice Ngaro was my producer. And Janice, I'm sorry. I gave you a hard time. I know I was difficult to work with. I know I fired you. I know you hate me. I don't hate you. I think you're pretty amazing. And I apologize to you. Would I do it again? Yes. Now, moving along. Well, I mean, what do you want me to say? Well, I wouldn't have, let me put it this way. I would have just, like, been your friend, maybe. Not hired you, just be your friend, and then paid you per bit. That would have worked. Janice was a writer. She was really funny. She's a stand-up comic. She's working over at KFI right now, and really just, I always thought she was a terrific quality person. And then we have, she's out there right now going, yeah, bullcrap. She's opening up a jet ski repair shop. Now, I'm kidding, Janice, but I mean what I'm saying. Chris Pelton, Chris, I apologize, man. I know I was hard on you, too. I leaned on a lot of my people because I wanted them to, you know, the problem is, I think I was trying to teach people how this show works, and I don't know if you can teach that. I think you either get it or you don't, and I know that Janice and Chris got it. I think their work habit was just different from mine, and they were people of different temperament. I think it's the reason why they could get along with me, because I'm a psychotic, and they were relatively normal, with the exception of Chris. There's not an inch of his freaking face that isn't tattooed. I mean, whatever that's about. Yeah, good luck getting a job at the post office here, man. And then I was fortunate to get Michelle Hernandez, who works her ass off, who has lots of ideas, who was part of our relations with our affiliates, who constantly weighed in with promotional ideas, who was always finessing things with the affiliate relations people, who was always had an idea on how we could make things smoother between ourselves and the affiliates, how we could help them, how we could promote personal appearances. She was organized, and every time, every day that I walked into this office, man, it was, you know, she was ready to rock and roll with stuff. I really needed that, Michelle. Thank you. And my good buddy here, Mark, who took over from Craig, and not a minute too soon, and who has been just steady, best engineer I've ever had, best producer. And as of the date that I'm going to announce, he will be working as the executive producer of the Today Show. He's hired Katie Couric, and he's going to fire her too. Oh, you mean Katie's gone? Oh, you already did fire. And then Wayne Roberts, my brother, who has been my associate producer, Wayne's in there. I've known Wayne since Miami. And you talk about a guy that understands this radio show. Wayne saw it in Miami. He saw the crap we went through there. He's here. No guy ever stepped into that role better prepared than Wayne. And he's also a handsome guy. He's an actor. And if Teachers goes another season, give me your picture and resume. But please stay off the lot, okay? I can't get you a drive on. And I'll see what I can do. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Right. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Two other guys, and I'll give her our last date on the air. Mike Schaefer was my producer when I first started syndicating the show. And Mike, my apologies, you poor guy. Mike is one of the sweetest guys in the world. And I was like, can you imagine like this, the most calm guy working with a psycho like me? And Mike, believe me, I can't thank you enough. And Harry Shelley, my associate producer. Harry, you're a psycho, but how can we not love you? And I hope you're happy, man, and I hope you do well. I know you got dreams that I hope come true. Now, our last day on the air will be June 23rd. June 23rd, that's a Friday. We are not going to want to have going-away parties. We're not going to do any going-away webcast. We're not going to have testimonials. Nothing, man. Maybe the last few minutes of the show, we'll have a fart-a-thon or something, you know. Or we'll see who can pull the longest one out of his nose. But that's it. June 23rd. See you tomorrow night.